الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We'll just complete our discussion on the propagation of the Quran Sharif. We explained that we should propagate the Quran in our homes, make our homes also according to Quran, the style of our home. Don't look at all some magazines and all other things and make our homes, we see from there, and make it like the kuffar style home. Make an effort that our home must look like a Muslim's home. Today, very sadly, many ulama's houses also we go, we don't see a sign of Islam. We usually only sit in the lounge, in the sitting room, but you don't see a sign of Islam. Everything is Western style. You previously, almost every alim, you would see kitabs in his lounge. But today the kitabs are also put away somewhere else. So, with the signs of Islam, and just having one frame of Allah, Muhammad, etc., that also is not sufficient. Frames are also a style of the Western way. And only we Islamicize it. And we make it, we put on there Allah, Muhammad, or something. No, the whole, the Sunnah style. On one occasion, when Hadraji Malana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and the Akabir of Tabligh had come to South Africa, they were leaving, and it was the last day. And from Johannesburg, New Town Masjid, they were leaving. And one person who had become very close to Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in Medina Sharif. He told Hazrat that, "I'm inviting you for breakfast. I want you to come home for breakfast." Because they were very informal and very close, Hazrat told him straight, "I'm not coming." He said, "But Hazrat, I'm inviting you. Why are you not coming?" He says, "You're not inviting me for breakfast." "I'm inviting you for breakfast." He said, "You are inviting me for barakat in your house." So he said, "Yes, that is true. But the excuse of breakfast, I want barakat to come." Hazrat then told him, "By my coming in your house, barakat is not going to come. Your house is full Western style. Everything Western pattern. All the couches and everything is all Western style. You first take that out and then you make it Sunnah style. Sitting down, etc. All the Sunnah, the simple ways." In fact, some brothers who are here from France, and they came here for some schooling business, so I advised him the best is to do homeschooling. So on that, they said that for homeschooling, then the government has regular inspections also. They come to the houses. And amongst the other things, they look at facilities also. And they say, "We live a very simple, down-to-earth life." They Jamaat brothers. That no chairs, no couches in our house, no table. He said, "The minute if they'll come, they'll phone the social welfare immediately. And they'll say, 'Come pick up these children.' They haven't got a bed to sleep on. They haven't got a table to eat on. So you take these children away and they will go in their care." So this is actually how a Muslim's house should be, simple like that. When we went to Iran, and in Tehran itself, there was one Maulana Ubaidullah, and we landed in Tehran, so they hosted us, he hosted us. When we went to his house, in the lounge, no furniture, only the carpet, that's all. The thick, nice carpet, Turkish carpet, nice and thick. And when we went to the bedroom, also no beds, only the carpet, no furniture. Then he opened the cupboards, which built in cupboards, and he pulled out some thick eider downs, and that was the mattress. And he pulled some other blankets out, and that was the what you cover yourself. Very simple lifestyle. So that is actually sunnat. In essence, sunnat is simplicity. And in our homes, see how much of all the adornments we have got. And all the in the lounge, what we keep, all the ornaments, in what you keep it? Showcase. The showcase, the ornaments, etc. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panipuri rahmatullah alayh made the tashkil of one brother, and then he told, I've got no money. Hazrat just told him that you go to your house and just you sell out the ornaments in your showcase. They are doing no work there, say also. And it's just all extra job opportunity. You have to clean it out, dust it, and they have to be kept in a presentable way. So Hazrat said, just sell that. That is more than enough for you to spend your 3 chillas in Jamaat. So simplicity. When we went to the UK very many years ago in Jamaat, they did not allow us at that time. We were spending time in France, etc. And from there we went over to UK. And the reason they did not allow us, they asked, how much money have you got? So we said, how much money? They say, with that money you can't go for one night to a restaurant also. So according to their lifestyle is like that. And we, with our own stove, you just go and buy some vegetables, buy some rice, boil it and cook it. It's a meager amount. They can't comprehend how we can live. And that is really how our lives must come down to. Simply, we got a nice big felt here. And you go to the, for toilet, you go to the felt. Because that was the sunnah, that was how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum lived. There were no toilets in the house, they used to go out in the felt in the jungle. So then he understood. So sunnah is according to our present times. On one occasion, one person came to the majlis of our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah. And from topi, from head to toe, dressed according to sunnah. Everything. He had a walking stick also. That is also sunnah. And there are many other sunnahs also, not only the walking stick, to keep a rumal, a shawl, the small shawls with you all the time. That is also part of sunnah. To keep a knife on you is also sunnah. There are many, up to 14 things which a person should keep. So all these things, so he had all this. And at the bottom of his walking stick, there was a nail also, which is also sunnah. So Hazrat asked him, why this nail? So he said, it's sunnah. So Hazrat said, understand sunnah. It was sunnah in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there were snakes and scorpions freely moving around, and you needed it in order to kill them, otherwise they would harm you. Snakes would come, and we can't understand it today, but it comes in the kitab where snakes used to come in the house also. It was the lifestyle. There were no tar roads, no paving, nothing like this. All the expansion of any small town which carries on. In those days, that weren't first roads were built and lights were put and there was sewage and all that. Then all these things go away themselves. So then Hazrat told, that was sunnah in that time. In these days, if you must understand the sunnah and how to practice on sunnah in Karachi, where there is no place to walk on the pavements, on the footpaths. When you board a bus, there is no place. You are hanging out from the bus. People are sitting on top of the bus. In the trains are so full. And with this nail of yours, you're going to hurt so many people. You understand the sunnah. Anyway, he became very angry. And he went on to say that nobody practices on the sunnah today. Not even the buzurgs. And then he said about Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh, that he also eats in glass plates, not in earthenware. Sunnah is to eat in earthenware. So Hazrat told, this man is in great danger. He got up angrily and he walked away. After about 6 months, a person came, dressed this time from head to toe, western clothes, western hat, three-piece suit, tie, shoes, everything dressed like that. So then Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Hazrat's son, asked Hazrat, do you know this person? No, I don't know him. It's first time I'm seeing him. He said, there's that same man who came 6 months ago. When we don't understand how to practice on sunnah, and when we have objection about the righteous and the pious, the friends of Allah, it hits back to, on us very, very hardly. That his whole outlook of life changed completely. So to understand sunnah is also, so our homes, etc., there must be simplicity. That is the base. We can't make our homes, the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one room. And that one room was, if you lift your hand touches the ceiling. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make namaz in the room, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and from, it appears from the study of hadith that she was small built. But she also had to pull her legs in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make sajda. In other words, if an ordinary, normal sized person, if his head is touching the one wall, his legs will touch the other wall. That was the size of the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who will be able to live like that today? We can't, but if you understand, and this is why you have to stay with buzurgs also. That not to judge them, that according to your knowledge of hadith, that are they living according to sunnah, but from their life to establish sunnah. See in the, from their lives how they are living, and practice your sunnah according to that and your lifestyle. And don't judge them according to your misunderstanding and misinterpretation of hadith, etc. And you think that the buzurg is not doing this according to sunnah, etc. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, only that person, two types of people will stay by me, remain by me, and benefit from me. One is either bhala ka aashiq, a great lover, a person who just loves me and accepts what I say. He hasn't got so much knowledge. And another person who has got knowledge in depth, not only superficial knowledge, only he sees the top of the hadith and there he makes his judgment. But he has got the depth of the knowledge, and really that is what you call the fuqaha, who have understood the hadith and every injunction, the reason behind it they have understood. The illat. And from there they took out hundreds and thousands of masail also. So this is a person like that with so much of knowledge will understand what I'm doing. Otherwise the other person just looks superficially, you'll have objection on everything I do. And a person who has got that deep understanding, he will understand that which, in the depth, in the bottom, what is there. And to understand this by way of one example, in Arabic grammar, for example, we have a zamir which is called mustatir, hidden zamir. And one is zamir bariz, zahir, which is open. Like for example, I tell somebody, go. Actually, I'm telling him, you go. If I take his name, Ismail is sitting here. If I tell Ismail, Ismail, go. He'll understand, he must go. And if I point to him, I said, you go. He'll understand I'm being spoken. And I just look at him, I say, go. He'll also understand I must go. Now, that you, the ustad explained, it is hidden in that go. You don't see it, but it's hidden there. So one student who had that aqidah, bal palaka ashita, that he said, my ustad, what he says is all true, 100%. It is hidden in there. So he took his knife and he started scratching. That way is it hidden inside. After some 50-60 pages, at the bottom he saw the you. So he said, yeah, it is true. My ustad spoke the truth. It is hidden, but very deep it's hidden. Very far it's hidden. So anyway, so a person who understands the reason and in the depth of it, that person will understand the af'al and the actions of a buzurg. A person who does not have that, and who is a buzurg really, is a person who stayed in the company of a buzurg. This is just like a doctor. A person, one is a doctor who studied. He studied at university, he got distinctions. But he didn't stay in the company of doctors. In other words, he did not do his housemanship. And he hasn't got experience. Like in every field, a person who hasn't got experience, you see their behavior. A new doctor, though he did housemanship also, but it's going to take him long to get that experience. And everyone knows, in every community, every area, there are those doctors who are those old doctors. And you say, well, they don't even send you for tests. Before anything, I had a little small problem. I went to a doctor, an old doctor I prefer to go to, instead of a young doctor. He told me, had you gone to another doctor, he should send you for so many tests, and at the end he'll give you this medicine, what I'm giving you. A very cheap medicine. And it solved the problem. And I was also thinking this now, oh, a big, long procedure, how much of tests, hospitalization. But just in hardly 10 minutes, and he solved the problem. He said, they'll let you go through this test, go through that test, and at the end, he's going to give you the same medicine. So, this is what is experience. So the buzurg is that person who got the experience, who stayed in the company. And incidentally, we should make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that Alhamdulillah, our khanka is not just something new also. Allah gave me the opportunity of spending my Ramzan with my Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, and we saw how they spend their Ramzan. How the whole day used to be spent in Quran, how the night used to be spent in Tahajjud, etc. Then when we went to Dioban, I had the great opportunity of spending one Ramzan in the company of Hazrat Maulana Ghulamullah Khan Sahab in Pakistan, where I spent my first Ramzan. Next Ramzan, I spent in Dioban with Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. My next Ramzan, I spent with Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then I spent a Ramzan with Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then I spent part of my Ramzan with our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi. So all that put together, you are getting on the plate. After cooking that meal that has been cooked and the biryani which has been prepared and that roast, now it is just presented. So it is given just like that on the tray, how many buzurgs, and they again from how many buzurgs they got again. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith from Manana Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, Manana Khalil Rahmat Sahib Ambedkar Rahmatullah Ali, all that way. And then of course one Ramzan I spend in Nizamuddin also. And Allahu Akbar. One particular thing I have to mention, I noticed we had the opportunity because we were foreigners, and those days very few foreigners. We were close to Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib. And Hadraji would stand up to make dua half an hour before Maghrib. He would stand facing Qibla and making dua at that old age of his. If sometimes he would get tired, he'll sit a minute or two and he'll stand up again with his hands up. And for about half an hour, he would be making dua for the ummah. Hazraji, when they returned from America, when they went for ijtimaz and jamaat work, and the qibla from America coming back to UK is towards the plane is flying in qibla direction. And in nafil namaz, you don't have to stand. So sitting in the seat, about 8 hours, Hazrat was engaged in nafil namaz. And he read Quran Sharif and made khatam of Quran Sharif. Traveling like this. And on top of that, what did Hazrat again say? Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had a great astronomical mind. And he was all the time busy working out the time of Fajr. That where we can make Fajr? In the plane now. And according to latitude and longitude and all that he was working out. When he worked it out, and he sent for confirmation to the captain. The captain had a different view. The captain said, no, it's not like this. He had a different view. Maulana sent his proof to the captain. The captain retracted his view. He said, what you have said, that is correct. And then Hadraji told, I was making nafil namaz. You were in the worry of the faras of all the passengers. All the whole Jamaat brothers. And what a big ibadat is that. To be worried about the faras of the people, that we must not miss our fajr, we must read it in the correct time, at the correct place. Hazratji, this is the humility of Hazrat. Otherwise, 8 hours in nafil namaz continuously is no small thing. What a great thing. So anyway, this is when you stay in the company of the elders. This is what a person acquires. And the duas that you get from them. Also, I'll mention this incident. When Hazratji came to South Africa, mashura was made, we must go in, make istiqbal, receive Hazrat in Cape Town for the Cape Town programs. So all the preparations were made. Now Hazrat is going to be coming from wherever it was, Johannesburg or Durban, I can't recall. But now everyone was eager to meet, go and receive Hazratji at the airport. They made my mashura, I must be at the house and wait for Hazratji at home. I'm not going airport to receive the whole qafla. I was quite despondent, sad also. But anyway, it was mashura. I waited there. And Allah made it such that the first car to come was, they brought Hazratji. And there was absolutely no one else. I was alone with Hazrat for about half an hour. Allah gave me, I made sabr, and Allah gave me what I should never get at the airport. I wouldn't even have got to shake hands with Hazrat at the airport. Yeah, alhamdulillah, mu'anaqa, and being alone with Hazrat for about half an hour. So this is, Allah gave those opportunities to be with these great, great people, and in so much closeness. Also, while we are on that subject, I've been also so fortunate that with Hazratji's qafla, the Hazratji always himself personally would keep me with the main qafla, with the main group. Once in Makkah Sharif, where all the big elders, and I would feel very awkward. I know we are just small fries, small, just graduated, we are nothing. But Hazratji's shafqat and his kindness, where all the elders were sleeping, he told me, tell them to give me place there. And then when we travelled from Makkah Sharif to Jeddah to Medina Sharif, he kept me in that group also. And I'll mention this incident also. Hazratji, those were the days we should go by the old road, not by the freeway, the highway now, which is present. The old road should go through Badr and through those places. Hazratji, every second year when they should go for Mashura, at Badr, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a bath in the water, Hazratji would go and bath in the water there also. Anyway, the people of Badr, the Arabs of Badr, the Badus, the Bedouins, it had the opportunity to be hosted by them personally. And without exaggeration, that thal, that big dish, a big tray, where a whole goat fits in. They had 7 goats on the dastarkhan. Whole goats. Not a roasted chicken, roasted goat, whole goat. So I told them, and we might have been about 25, 30 people. I said, who can eat 7 goats? They say, we don't expect you to eat. You just take your little bit, how much you want to, then we distribute this in the whole village of Badr. For barakat, that great pious people came, they had partaken of this food, and the barakat of it they give out. So alhamdulillah, Allah has been very, very fortunate. Also with regard to this, let me mention one more incident. Ijtima was here in Azadwal, and here where the old mess is in front. The students sit in the back section, the front section, we used to first make namaz there when the masjid was not built. So mashura was taking place there. With Hazratji, all our elders, all. And general mashura. So, one discussion that was taking place about the work of tabligh, that must it be spread more, or must you go more in depth? In other words, must you be more, just spread the work. More people come in. And whether they have qualities or not, you're not even worried about that. Or must you worry more about that they must have qualities. And this had become a very big issue in the inner circles of Jamaat work. So Hazratji then looked at me and he asked me, what's your opinion? Where I'm going to speak? So great, great people and a small little youngster and so useless also, where I would speak. Then Hazratji himself said, bhai, ye is kaam ko koi alag kaam mat samjho. Don't regard this. This is deen's work for deen. It's not a new work just to spread deen. It is to bring deen in our lives. And the conclusion Hazratji in his beautiful way had made, spread the work also and go in depth also. Do both at the same time. Let brothers must have qualities in them also. Sifat also must come in them. And you must spread the work also. Both of the things are necessary. Anyway, so this is to understand deen. You need the company of such elders, these elders, pious people. That is when you get the understanding of deen. And the more closer you are to these pious people, therefore, it is the words of Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Ali. Some brothers make a mistake and they say, these are the words of Judge Akbar Ilahabadi. These are the words of Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Ali of 800 years ago. Yak zamana ba sohbat-e awliya, behtar sat sala ta'at be riya. A little while in the company of the yak zamana ba sohbat-e awliya, in the company of the awliya, the buzurgs, And who are the awliya, the buzurg? Those who observe deen, the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Those are not a person who looks like a buzurg by his dressing, etc. In his life there is this deen. And more than his outside life, inside him. That he has got this in him, the sifat, the qualities he has got. So the little wine in the company, and the reason for this is, a person gets the proper understanding of deen. And Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi explained that la yishqa bihim jalisuhum, that person doesn't become a shaqi, a wretched person, a person who dies without iman. That is a person who got the company of Ahlullah, even for 1 minute, inshallah he will die on iman. His mort on iman is guaranteed. And a person, shaitan made whole life ibadah, but that didn't save him from becoming wretched. And he had ilm so much also. He had marifat also so much. It didn't help him to become, not to save himself from becoming wretched. But the company of the awliya, this is a thing that will make a person be saved from a bad death. He will get a good death. So to understand, we all started on the talk of simplicity. That how to live simply, your house also. Many of us, we want our houses to be like show houses. Everything spick and span. And this goes to the extent that a woman who want this and everything on its place. Everything spick and span. There are such people in South Africa. Complaints that we get from the daughters-in-law. They want the tiles, the grouting. They got a maid, a worker, only to clean the grouting, whole day, every day, morning to night. From in every house, she must just clean the grouting all the time. How they want that house to be clean, so spotless. So you want to make your house like a show house like that. It has been scientifically proved. Those women who want this suffer from, what is that disease, mental disease, that you forget a lot.
Dementia.
Right. What's it, Mohammed? Dementia. They suffer from dementia. Those women who want this to be so spotless, everything. And that is, they themselves, they suffer. They make their children suffer. And their children also are not allowed to play anywhere in the house. They got a toy room. Now, how can you control children like that? That you have to, they regulate them. They can only go and play in the toy room. They can't play anywhere else. And in that house, if the child has to mess anything, anywhere else, it's a qiyamah in that house. Because they made the house their god. The house must be spotless all the time. It must be so perfect all the time. So this is not at all correct. That, and on the other hand, it mustn't be dirty again and untidy. And there is no system in the house. Things are just piled up everywhere. Things are just thrown around. The simple way to understand this, if you visit a house, you don't come out with the impression that there is a dirty, filthy house. Neither do you come out, there is a show house. Just normal. It's a house. That is the middle part. But if you come out, oh, what, just see it, everything spick and span. Jamaat, Musturat Jamaat that come, they so frightened to enter the South African houses. They say there we have to be so particular about everything. And they are careful, they don't want to upset anyone. That they put something out of order, that they break something. And the way the things are all, the glass, the ornaments, etc. You bump somewhere something, you can break something. They find it so hard to even enter our houses. And they go what? Like in our country, if they go like one of the India brothers' house, they feel very nice. Oh, now we like at home. That things are not all that, all the detail and all that, how much of, so specific and so much of details. So this is how a person should live. Neither should a person, when he sees somebody, he's dressing. Oh, this person is dressed immaculately. That impression shouldn't come also. Neither should the impression come, oh, this person is sloppy. This person is dirty, neat and tidy also. So that is how a person, in between, that is where a person should be. And when a person is just worried about his clothes all the time. And in this also, we should see, in beginning, Whenever I bought a watch, I should have immediately the belts changed to a leather belt, because that is simplicity, that is more closer. But then I learned from our buzurgs, also the barakat of staying in the company of the buzurg, that even that, don't go out of your way. You get a watch with a leather belt, alhamdulillah, that is better. But now don't go out of the way that you go and change your belt. And you're so particular about it. It comes like this, accept it like that, stay with it. You don't like it, because this is a form of a bracelet. And there is a bad sign for a man that men wear bracelets. So some people are of the opinion that they couldn't get the Muslim ummah, the men, to wear bracelets before the watch was a Zobo watch. You kept it in your pocket. Eh? And also understand this point also very important. Before that, no watches. People could estimate the times, and they made out the times quite easily without a watch. And when people started using watches, it was looked as being very modern. And that was the Zobo watch, the watch in the pocket. Eh? And then from there, when people started wearing on the hand, they looked very modern people. So if you now judge people at that time, today, people, everything got a watch. Your cell phone got a watch, your iPad got a watch, your iPod got a watch, your everything got a watch. Everywhere there are watches compared to those people who had no watches. We'll say these people are mad about time, and they don't even observe time. So much they've got time reminders, but they don't observe time at all also. So anyway, so they say that the reason why they put they made the hand watch, so that they can get bracelets onto the hands of the man. So now you wear it with your watch strap as a bracelet. But anyway, these things we shouldn't be so go into so much depth of these things. Accept it as it is, but don't make it your object. Now you got a belt, don't go and look for another expensive one, a colorful one, etc. Once when I was in that mode of mind, that it must be a leather belt, I went to a family brother's shop. We had a family program out on the farm, and he had leather belts. I told him, put that leather belt for me, and you can take this belt of mine. It was a golden color with black, very beautiful. He couldn't understand that I'm prepared to exchange it for a leather belt. Such an expensive belt to exchange it for a cheap belt. He over and over asked me, are you sure? Mustn't I give you money over it? I said, no, nothing. You just accept it. So all these fancy things, that we should stay away. So this is necessary. So all this was that bring Quran, make our home like the Quran. Simplicity in the house. But then our lifestyle, simplicity. Then when you go to a wedding, a social function, propagate the Quran, the teachings. In fact, when there's a wedding taking place or something, especially if you're the imam, you're a prominent person, you got saved, you're a senior person in the family circle. You know, if a wedding is coming in the family, there is a girl young, there is a boy, they're getting married, and you get the news, you're in the family, you're in the community. Don't wait for the wedding day or 2 weeks before the wedding, and now you go and tell them to make a simple wedding. As soon as you get the news, go to them and explain to them to have a simple wedding. Today, it's unbelievable the money that is being spent on weddings, and totally futile. And not only futile, but totally it works against us. It's breaking homes. This all these marriages with all this extra is not making homes, it is breaking homes. It's not building homes, it's destroying homes. So the marriage, so don't wait when they have made all their preparations. Their lavish wedding cards are printed, and all they have already booked the halls, and they booked not halls now, they have booked hotels already, and they have booked convention centers already, and now you can tell them cancel everything. It's very hard at that. So try and go and propagate the Quran well in advance. And there is a duty for everyone. The alim of the town, the ulama of the town, the senior members of the respected people in the town, and the senior members in a family circle, all of them must go and explain to them that inna a'zama an-nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. Make your nikah very simple. The most barakat is in there. Eh, today, just a few glimpses, and you people know more than what we know. There was a wedding in the Centen, convention center or somewhere. And for 1 week before every night they had programs also. Why, Mehndi party, this party, that party, all. And for every night a separate invitation card. And each card was at a cost of 2,000 rand. 200 rand. 2,000 people were invited. 2,000 times 20. How much does it work out? J? 40,000 rand. For 7 nights, 40,000, 250,000 rand just on the wedding card. And what a wedding card. And all the other things. In one place, a non-Muslim film actor was invited to walk the bride just from the, when she's dropped off at the hall to the stage. Just for that walk of about 20 meters, 30 meters, he was paid, this may be about 15 years ago, he was paid 1 million rand just to walk the bride. What a shameless thing. Another man, a stranger, non-Muslim, he must walk with your daughter and then, but just because he's a film actor. Where is our brains? What is happening to us? So this is all now, we are going way without completely in these things. In the UK, there was a nikah, and the bridegroom, her parents, his parents, and the qazi sahab and the pilot went up in a helicopter to make the nikah. Before the helicopter came down, the nikah broke already. How many places the boy goes and meet the girl on the stage? And just now, the nikah was just made now. He came and he went and kissed the girl, and what shamelessness in front of everyone. He goes and kisses his bride on the stage. Because she didn't get the shoe she told him. She became angry and she started fighting with him there. And he divorced her there. Hardly the nikah started, already divorced. So this is unfortunately, when we don't keep that simple rule of Shariat in mind, of Sunnah and of Quran, simplicity, we go out. Whether it is our home, whether it is our dressing, so wherever we can, we propagate the Quran when we go and visit the family. The schooling of our children, it's also going way well out. Amount of money that is being spending on, really, if you go and see an ulama, there will be those ulama who will give the fatwa of haram for the schooling also. Because there is kufr being taught in there. The Darwin's theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, and the mixing of boys and girls. We were in Belgium, in Jamaat, and in Gush we were walking. We passed by a crèche. Maybe there were 2-3-year-old children. And they were all naked, experimenting one another's bodies, and seeing the bodies of one another. And then there were those bards there, naked, they were there, and they were doing all their things there. So that's kind of education, which Mufti can give a halal fatwa for them, or a jais fatwa. And this is where they're leading all of us. We are also going in that same direction. If you think what our schooling days, how was schooling? And today, what is the schooling days? The drugs, the violence, the guns that are coming to school, all the things that what are happening. What kind of schooling is this? So propagate the Quran. Tell them to give their children, and they must have education. Nobody is against education. But give them education, which is the correct education, and in the correct environment. And dunya's knowledge also we have to have. That also. And the best for that is homeschooling. And homeschooling is flourishing in America. It's flourishing in Europe also. And that is the solution for us. Not even Islamic schools. Islamic schools, they are just duplicating the work of the government schools. There is nothing. And at a high fee, they are duplicating the same work, doing the same things. Just with the Islamic tag on it. That you just keep, you got black vinegar in your Coca-Cola bottle, but you just give it a name, Coca-Cola. So by just putting Coca-Cola name, that black vinegar doesn't become Coca-Cola. It's black vinegar. So Western way of life with Islamic tag. Today is just everything to Islamicize everything. In fact, one brother, an alim, his wife also an alima, doing all a certain type of treatment which is totally against Sharia. And then when our Mufti Saab told, this is not correct, look at this, look at this. He said, we will change those things, names to Islamic names. Just by changing the names to Islamic names, the thing is not going to become jais and halal. The matter inside must be correct, not just the name. So that also we should think. Our names are also Yusuf, Yunus, Ismail, Fatima, Aisha, Khadija. But inside, what is inside? Just the name doesn't make you a Muslim. This is just like that Ustad asked the students that, are you Muslims in the madrasa? They all said, yes, we are Muslim. He asked one, how do you know you're a Muslim? He said that, I wear red topi. So he said, you are lal topi waro Musliman. Just because you wear a fez, that fez which was one time a sign, the Turkish fez was a great sign of the authority, the Ottoman Empire, because that was their dressing. So you that kind of a Muslim. Asked another one, how do you know you are Muslim? He said, my name is Ismail. He said, tu naam no Musliman. You are just a Muslim by name, just your name makes you a Muslim. Asked another one, he said, I eat meat, meat. Hindus don't eat meat, we eat meat, so we are Muslims because we eat meat. He said, tu gosh khawa waro Musliman. You're a meat-eating Muslim, that's all. Then the one student said, because I believe in Allah and His Rasul Sallam. So the inside things, that is what makes a person. So anyway, so this, we must propagate the Quran. Wherever we go, we propagate the Quran. In the homes, the teachings of the Quran. Everyone, that is the duty and the right of the Quran. Whether we go to a social function, whether we go for business, as a doctor, for example, you give your medicine to your patients, and instead of telling them, have it in the morning and evening, tell them, have it after Fajr and after Maghrib. You gave them da'wah. And tell them, very important, without namaz, this medicine not going to have effect. You must first make your namaz after Fajr. And this you have after Isha. Instead of saying before bedtime, tell him after Isha. Propagate the Quran Sharif, everything. Wherever we are, we should try. The Quran Sharif says that, for example, in the 7th Supara, where there is a dispute between people, and then ask them to give their evidence, Ba'd Salatil Asr. After Ba'd Salatil Asr. After Asr Namaz. So the Quran teaches us, use Islamic terms. Everything what you do, that you're an amil, and you give amaliyat, then tell the person to do this, he must read this wazifa after Fajr, instead of in the morning. Read this after Maghrib. Read this before Isha. Read this after Isha. Everything bring Islam and the teachings of the Quran Sharif. So wherever we are, propagate the Quran. And then where we ended off yesterday, we end off again there today. And that is, do it with hikmah. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. With wisdom call the people. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi explains, they went to Egypt in Jamaat. And where the Jamaat was, just nearby in the vicinity, there was a person who was showing his tricks with monkeys. How the monkey does its tricks and that. Which was not correct, it's not jais, it's not permissible. So one alim who has this, Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, that he had on his head, that we must go and stop him. He went and stopped that person. This is haram, not jais. Totally wrong what you're doing. He let loose the monkeys on the Maulana, on the sheikh. And the poor sheikh was running around for refuge. All the monkeys were behind him. So then Maulana saw, so he sent Jamaat brothers to him. They told, when he saw same kind people coming again, same bearded like a sheikh, a Maulana is coming. So again he became apprehensive. But they had a different approach totally. And they told him that we came and see your show. You trained us monkeys. What a great thing. How you managed to train them, etc. And he showed them their tricks and that. They paid him his fee also. And they gave him extra also. They say, we also got somebody who doesn't train monkeys. He trains human beings. And he has come in the masjid there. Come and see how he trains human beings. So now you got him interested and he brought him here and his whole life changed. And on his own, he stopped all that monkey business of his. Otherwise, they made a poor monkey of the sheikh, who went and tell him it's haram and that, they made a monkey out of him. But when the right approach, then that person became, he stopped all his monkey business. So there is a way of doing it also. Our sheikh, rahmatullah Ali, says once in Medina Sharif, he saw a person who was known to be stingy. But he saw him standing with a pan in his hand at a corner, street corner. Hazrat asked, you, I know you, you where? You will give anybody ice in winter also. And you standing with this pan, he says, there's one person coming, I have to give him dawat. And first I'll give him pan, I'll bribe him up, I'll butter him up, then I'll give him the pan, then I'll give him dawat. And just our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, is in line with the teachings of the Quran. Quran says, wateen was zaytun. First give the people to eat. Give them olives, give them zaytun, give them injir, figs, etc. Then talk with them, wateen was zaytun. Wahadal, waturi sinin, wahadal baladil amin. Now talk about turi sinin. And now talk about baladi amin. First feed the person. And there is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His first da'wah he gave, he fed all the people. And then he gave them da'wah. So this is how we go. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, your wife bought a doll for your daughter. Or bought some other toys in which there is murad. Now don't come like a big mufti sahab. Haram. Throw it out. Break it. Throw it out. Amar bil ma'ruf. Nahi anil munkar. Get rid of it. No, you go quietly and buy a better toy. Without murat in there, without music. And then take the lesser thing and give the better thing. Automatically a person will accept that. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas sahab rahmatullah Ali says, if a dog is eating a bone, what's on a bone? Nothing. You want it to eat meat. So don't give it a bayan of 1 hour. And dare snatch that bone from the dog. It will bite your hand. All you do is going to put meat in front of it. Without no bayan, no wazifas, no mujahada, it's going to come onto the meat and eat the meat on its own. So this is how a person should do what hikmat, what wisdom he should give, propagate the Quran wherever we go. And for that, sohbat is necessary. That's why part of our talk today we devoted to sohbat. Learn how to do this. And then see what the lives. And again, when you go to the mashayikh, don't go to judge them whether they got sunnats in their life. But you, according to their life, bring sunnats into your life. If you got the opinion, you going to judge them and you going to correct them, you are on the wrong path from the start. It's like you're giving somebody directions when you leave our town, you want to go to Durban. You must turn right, you must turn. First turn he took left. Now he's following all the direction. Way, he's going to get more lost all the time. So we go wrong in the first place. How are we going to get our direction? May Allah give us tawfiq to propagate the Quran and to do it with hikmat. And beautiful. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'idhatil hasana. And maw'idha hasana. Wajadilhum bil lati hiya ahsan. Engage them in discussion also. And in a beautiful way, how you can convince them. May Allah give us, and this is everyone's duty, not only Maulana's duty, not only the Shaykh's duty, not only the Imam's duty, everyone. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun ar-ra'iyyatihi. Each one of you is a shepherd and he's going to be asked about his flock on the day of Qiyamah. So it's everyone's duty. May Allah give us understanding and let us fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif inshallah.